Chapter 8, Baby Mine. Jennifer spent what she assumed to be the afternoon crying, then praying, followed by more crying. She wasn't sure how much time had passed since she arrived at Danny's house. Much of it she had spent unconscious as the result of the violent beatings. Since there was no windows in the basement, she had no way to know what time of day it was. Her internal clock made her believe it was late afternoon, and since Danny had brought her lunch, she assumed her gut feeling was right. That meant Rob would be home by now and finding her missing. She heard the sound of footsteps crossing the floor overhead. Then the basement door opened and Danny descended the steps carrying Jennifer's cell phone. When she reached the cage, Danny held the phone up for Jennifer to see. Despite her swollen eye, Jennifer could see the phone's display from the cot where she was laying. The display indicated that the time was 5:17 p.m. and that there were 6 missed calls. Jennifer was relieved to see the missed calls, and she knew they were all from Rob. Just as she had hoped, when he got home and found her missing, he became worried sick. He tried to call her repeatedly. She was certain that when there was no answer, he called her family and friends, and ultimately, the police. No doubt everyone was already searching for her.
"I need the password to unlock this fancy phone of yours," Danny announced, as if she expected Jennifer to just offer it up.
Jennifer rolled her eyes and sneered, then laid back down on the bed with indifference to Danny's request.
"Did you not hear me? I need your password."
"Do you think I'm stupid? I'm not giving you my password."
"Don't make me have to ask again," Danny raised her voice.
"Ask all you want, but I'm not giving it to you."
"Girl, why you gotta be that way? I don't want to have to fight with you again, but you ain't giving me much of a choice."
Jennifer walked to the fence and stared into Danny's eyes. After a moment, she spat at Danny through the fence. She was disappointed to have missed Danny's face, and the glob landed on her shoe instead.
"Damn bitch," Danny yelled when she saw the spat on her shoe. "I just got these shoes."
"I know you did, you sack of shit. You stole them off my feet." Danny looked down and realized that Jennifer was right. They were the shoes she had stolen while Jennifer was unconscious.
"Oh," Danny giggled, "I guess they are. You want them back?" "Hell no, not after you stuck your gnarly toes in them. They'll need to be burned." "Fine, I didn't plan on giving them back anyway," Danny laughed. "Now give me that password like I done asked."
"Like I done said, hell no," she mocked Danny's twang. "And the word is ask, with a K. A-S-K. Ask."
"Girl, you don't know who you're messing with," Danny yelled. "I ain't got time for no games. You best stop talking, or I'll cut your damn tongue out. You ought to know by now that I'll do it."
Jennifer stepped back from the fence, but still didn't offer up the password.
"Don't make me have to beat it out of you."
Jennifer noticed that Danny held her cell phone in one hand, but the other was empty. She didn't have her taser or whatever her current weapon of choice. If she could entice her into the cage, then it would be a woman against woman, a hand-to-hand battle. Jennifer thought she could overcome Danny and fight her way free if they were on a level field with no weapons. Danny was thin but wiry, whereas Jennifer was taller and heavier. Though she had never been much of a fighter, she believed that given the opportunity, she could fight her way out.
"Come on in and try," Jennifer goaded. "Girl, I already whipped your butt. How many times is it? 3? Or is it 4 now? You sure you want to try that at me again? Next time I'm going to kick the crap out of your belly instead of your head."
Jennifer put her arms protectively around her stomach and took another step back. She had second thoughts about luring Danny into another physical altercation. Jennifer realized that Danny was outright crazy with an explosive temper. She wouldn't hesitate to harm the baby and would most likely take pleasure in doing so if provoked.
"Yeah, that's what I thought," Danny smirked. "Well, what's it gonna be? You gonna tell me your password, or do I need to beat that baby right out of you?
I'm not giving it to you. Do what you have to do. Jennifer remained cautiously defiant. She didn't want to incur Danny's wrath. But neither did she want to provide her with a means to discourage Rob or throw the police off her trail.
What do you think you're going to do? Text people? Tell them I've run away? No one will believe that.
I'm just going to text your man and tell him you're okay and all. You don't want him worrying about you, do you?
He's not stupid. By now, he's already called the police. Danny held the phone up again so Jennifer could see the display.
I don't think so. He keeps calling your number. So he ain't called the law just yet. Probably thinks you're just out running around.
As soon as he saw I wasn't home, he called the police, Jennifer insisted.
I'm supposed to be on bed rest, so he knows something is wrong.
As the words left her mouth, she regretted revealing her situation to Danny. Danny was obviously a psychopath, but she was also a clever one. No doubt that any weakness Danny found, she wouldn't hesitate to flaunt. She had already threatened to hurt the baby. No doubt she would use the information to torment and terrorize Jennifer even further.
Bed rest? Why you on bed rest?
None of your business.
You having problems carrying that baby?
Danny was more than just curious. She needed Jennifer's baby to be healthy. If she had to take it out, she wanted to make sure it would survive. Otherwise, she didn't want to waste her time and energy on Jennifer just to end up with another dead baby.
I said it's none of your damn business, Jennifer shouted.
Danny approached the cage.
Listen, Missy, that's my baby. So if you're going to have problems, then it's my business. The only reason you're alive right now is that baby. So you best speak up.
Jennifer remained silent. What was she supposed to say to that? If she admitted that she was considered a high-risk pregnancy, Danny was likely to just kill her and find another woman to kidnap and terrorize.
You better say something, girl. If you ain't gonna have a strong baby, I might as well put you down right now.
It was just as Jennifer had suspected. If Danny had a reason to believe that the baby wouldn't be healthy, she wouldn't hesitate to kill her. Danny waited for her to respond. When Jennifer failed to reply, she shook her head.
That's what I thought. Might as well get this over with now.
Danny went to the workbench and retrieved a hammer from a red metal toolbox. When Jennifer saw Danny pick up the hammer, she gasped. Jennifer became lightheaded from the fear, and beads of sweat appeared on her forehead.
Wait, Jennifer pleaded as Danny approached the gate. Wait! What am I waiting for? You got something to say, Missy?
It was nothing. There was nothing wrong with the baby. You misunderstood, Jennifer stammered.
I'm fine. The baby's fine. Then why are you supposed to be on bed rest? That's what she said, ain't it? Or was you just lying to me again?
No, I wasn't lying. I had some spasms, and the doctor said it was false labor. That's all, Jennifer confessed. The doctor said that there was nothing to worry about. It's common with a lot of women.
You mean those... what's it called? Those fake labor pangs?
Yeah, that's it. False labor. You had a baby, didn't you? You must have had those cramps, too. A lot of women do. It's called Braxton Hicks contractions. It's common.
Oh, them things ain't nothing. I had them when I was carrying Kyla Lynn. It's just like muscle cramps, ain't it?
That's right, Jennifer agreed. Just cramps. The baby is fine. My boyfriend was just so nervous, he insisted that I rest until the baby comes. You know how men overreact about every little thing when it comes to babies?
Well, I guess that there ain't nothing to worry about then, Danny admitted.
She walked back to the workbench and returned the hammer. She was glad it wasn't serious. She didn't want to have to worry about disposing of another body, or to have to start all over again trying to find another baby. Besides, she was excited that Jennifer's baby was biracial, just like her Kyla Lynn was.
Still, there you are, fussing and fighting, like a wild animal.
Danny gave a disapproving glare.
You better listen and listen good. You keep acting up. You're gonna cause that baby to get hurt. Then it's all over. Without that baby, I don't got no use for you. Understand me?
If you're so worried about my baby, then let me out of here.
Your baby? Danny laughed. Is you deaf and dumb? I just told you, that baby ain't yours no more. That baby's mine.
You're insane.
Danny kicked the fence in anger. Shut your face. I ain't sick or tired of you saying that. Don't call me that again.
Her outburst startled Jennifer. She already knew that Danny had a hair-trigger temper. And Jennifer was already shell-shocked by her experience with Danny's violent eruptions.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Jennifer said in a reassuring voice. I won't say it again. You best not, Danny pursed her lips together in a pout. That hurts my feelings.
I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking. Danny's expression and demeanor abruptly changed with Jennifer's apology. She was surprised that someone would apologize and acknowledge her feelings. It was something that she seldom experienced during her life. She gave a genuine smile of satisfaction, but as quickly as it came, her smile vanished and was replaced by a scowl. She held out the phone again.
Now you gonna give me that password?
Jennifer sat down on a cot and with her elbows on her knees and her face in her hands, she wanted to cry. She was right back where she started with the phone confrontation. She was stuck, afraid what would happen if she continued to refuse, but just as afraid of what Danny would do if she gained access to her phone.
Danny tapped her foot impatiently. Well, last chance to do this the easy way.
Why are you doing this? Jennifer looked at her with pleading eyes and struggled to understand the motivation for Danny's behavior. Then the realization finally hit. As Danny gazed back at her with a childlike expression, Jennifer understood the truth. Danny was not just cruel. She wasn't just a bully willing to take what she wanted. Danny was insane. And not the garden variety, mentally ill kind. Danny was a psychopath. A cold-blooded killer.
I told you already. Ain't you listening? It's for the baby. I'm gonna make a good mama. It's meant to be, honey. God brung you here as the answer to my prayers.
Oh my God, you really are insane, Jennifer gasped and covered her mouth immediately, regretting calling her insane yet again. She didn't want to provoke Danny and incite another violent outburst from her.
I told you, stop saying that, Danny screamed. I might not be as smart as you, but I ain't stupid, and I ain't crazy either.
Danny hit the fence and started to pace about. She was clearly agitated.
Damn it, I should just kill the bitch,
Danny muttered as if she were talking to some invisible accomplice.
Just cut the baby out right here and now. Take my chances and let God decide.
Danny looked down at the floor as she paced back and forth in front of the gate.
It wouldn't live, it wouldn't live. Danny argued with herself. That's what happened last time. Gotta wait till the right moment. Or I could just kill the bitch now and find somebody else.
Jennifer watched in horror as Danny bickered with some invisible entity. Danny slid the phone into her pocket, then walked back to the workbench and grabbed the hammer. She returned to the cage and took the padlock key to fuse Danny's temper.
That was very unkind, and you have the right to be angry, but what about the baby?
Danny paused.
What about it?
The baby. Your baby. You don't want to hurt your baby, do you? You're a good mama, aren't you? You wouldn't do anything to hurt your own baby. Danny thought for a moment, then pulled the key back out of the lock and put it back into her pocket.
You gonna quit calling me names?
Yes, Jennifer reassured her. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
You don't think I'm crazy?
No, you're smart, Jennifer continued to soothe her.
Look, I'm the one in this cage, so you must be smarter than I am.
Danny perked up. She stood upright and squared her shoulders proudly.
That's right, ain't it? You're the one in there, and I'm out here, so I guess I'm smarter, huh?
That's right, Jennifer sighed in relief that she had diffused Danny's anger and avoided another fit of rage. But her small success only brought her back to the same predicament as before. The password to her cell phone.
I'm going to need that password now, Danny said. You keep trying to distract me, but I ain't going to let you no more. You give it to me now or I'm going to have to use my hammer to convince you.
No, I'll give you the password. I'll give it to you.
You sure? This ain't no trick, is it?
No tricks. Remember, we need to think about the baby, don't we? We don't want to do anything that might hurt her.
No, let's not hurt the baby, Danny agreed.
See, I'm going to be a good mother. I already love that little thing.
That's good, Danny. Now just put that hammer away. We don't need it anymore. You have to take care of the baby, right?
Danny shrugged her shoulders indifferently, then returned the hammer back to the toolbox on the workbench.
So, we's having a girl, Danny said as she returned to the gate.
You said her. We don't want to hurt her.
Yes, Jennifer answered. She had already told Danny she was having a girl, and they had even briefly discussed it. But Danny seemed to have completely forgotten about the conversation. Had Jennifer not already accepted that Danny was clinically insane, she would have been worried. But now, she just made a mental note of the memory lapse in case she could use it to her advantage later.
Oh, good. A little girl. Danny was excited. My Kyla Lynn was mixed, too. Her daddy was black as coal, and he weren't no purty man. But Kyla Lynn was. She was a beautiful baby. Everybody said so.
Jennifer overlooked the way Danny described the baby's father. With what she had already experienced with Danny, she would not have been surprised if she had used the N-word to describe him. She was already accustomed to Danny's "I'm not racist" style of racism. She had seen the type of bigotry many times before. Jennifer decided to try to distract Danny further and hopefully make her forget about the password altogether.
You have a daughter? Jennifer asked.
She's dead. Didn't I already tell you that?
Oh, I must have forgotten. I'm so sorry. Can I ask what happened to her?
She died when she was still a baby. Poor little thing. Cried all the time. From the minute she was born to her last breath. I forgot a lot about when she was a baby. But that crying, I can still hear that baby screaming. It was just constant crying and crying and crying.
I'm sorry. It must be horrible losing a child.
Suddenly, Danny perked up and shrugged off her grim expression.
Oh, well, I only had a few months, so I wasn't that attached. It wasn't like when I lost my dog or anything like that. He was as much family as the baby and less trouble. Danny laughed.
Jennifer couldn't tell if she was making a joke or completely serious with her comment. Regardless of which, Jennifer found it appalling that Danny would speak of her own dead baby and make jokes in such a callous manner.
Don't waste no more of my time. This man of yours, he's already called a half a dozen times.
Danny pulled the cell phone back out of her pocket.
Now, what's the password? Last chance before I get pissed off.
Okay, give me a second to think.
Jennifer stalled for a moment to think. Not to remember her password, but to think of a way to avoid giving it to Danny without sending her into another rage. To refuse would likely result in Danny going back to get the hammer, but to give her the password could result in her somehow convincing Rob not to come look for her.
Well,
give me a minute, Jennifer snapped. I'm trying to remember.
Do I need to help jog your memory? Maybe give your head a good rattling to get it to working?
No, I've got it. It's 748902.
Now slow down a minute.
Danny began to enter the numbers, saying them aloud as she did.
748. Tell me again.
748902, Jennifer repeated.
748902, Danny said as she entered them. Nope, says it's the wrong password.
No, it's right, I'm sure of it. You must have hit a wrong number.
I didn't hit no wrong damn number. I put it in just what you told me.
Try it again.
Okay, say 'em one more time.
Jennifer hesitated. She couldn't recall the numbers she had given Danny a moment before, because she had randomly pulled them out of thin air. She hoped Danny wouldn't notice when she gave her a different set of numbers. After all, Danny undoubtedly had an impaired memory.
Okay, it's 974802.
974, Danny entered the digits again, 702.
That's it, Jennifer assured her, though she knew well that it wasn't her password.
No, that's not it. Don't you remember your own damn password?
Yes, I'm sure of it. You're doing something wrong. Try it again.
Danny sighed heavily. Ugh. Say him one more time. Slow down this time so I can keep up.
8-7-9-0-4-2, Jennifer said slowly. Danny started entering the numbers, then stopped. She furrowed her brow in thoughtful contemplation.
That ain't the same number you gave me last time. Damn it, you're giving me the wrong number on purpose.
No, I swear, I'm not. I'm just nervous. It's hard to remember under all this pressure.
I know what you're doing, Danny looked at the phone and grimaced. It says I have two more tries or the phone locks. You're wanting the phone to lock so I can't send no texts.
No, I swear, I'm just having trouble remembering. You hit me on the head pretty hard. I'm not thinking straight.
You better start thinking straight real quick, or a bump on the head will be the least of your worries.
Okay, let me think. Jennifer began to pace back and forth nervously. She had hoped that Danny wouldn't realize what she was doing until after the phone had locked up. Unfortunately, Danny proved to be smarter than Jennifer had given her credit.
Come on, girl, I ain't got all night.
I remember now, it's my birthday, 11/15/95.
Your birthday? Then what the hell were those numbers you were giving me before? They ain't nowhere close to being the same. You best not be lying to me again, Danny warned her.
I'm not. It's 11/15/95. Just try it.
Danny entered the numbers, mouthing them as she did. A moment later,
God damn it, you cow! You fucking lied to me again!
No, I didn't. That's it. 11/15/95. My birthday. You must have entered a wrong number.
Danny jammed her hand in her pocket and dug for the padlock key.
There's only one try left. I guess I'm going to have to go in there and stomp it out of you.
No, wait. I'm not lying to you. I just can't remember. I'm not thinking clearly from being hit in my head, Jennifer insisted. She was running out of options, but she thought of one last thing she could try.
It was a risk, but she couldn't let Danny open her door
or the phone. Wait, I can open it with my fingerprint.
Use your finger,
Danny was surprised. She never had an expensive smartphone and never heard of one you could open with a fingerprint. All her experience had been with the free government-issued phones, what she called an Obama phone. It had internet service and texting and some web browsing, but none of the more complex functions. So opening a phone with her fingerprint sounded suspicious, and she didn't know whether it was a real thing or another trick.
You're lying. You can't really use your finger to unlock your phone.
Yes, I can. It'll read my fingerprint. That's how I always do anyway. That's why I can't remember my password, because I always just use my finger.
Danny turned the phone over and examined it from every angle.
Well, I'll be. I need to get me one of these.
Jennifer rushed to the gate and stuck her hand through the opening.
Here, give it to me and I'll unlock it.
You best not be trying to trick me.
No tricks. I'll unlock it and hand it right back to you. We don't want my boyfriend to be worried, do we?
Danny slowly extended her hand to give Jennifer the phone. Just as it was within her reach, Jennifer snatched the phone away and rushed back to the cell against the wall. She quickly punched 911.
Hello, I need help. This is an emergency. I've been kidnapped.
Jennifer cried into the phone, frantic to reach someone before Danny could unlock the gate and stop her. But no one responded to her pleas, and her phone remained silent. Danny snorted and slapped her knee in exaggerated amusement. Jennifer looked at the phone display and saw the message. No signal.
You stupid cow, Danny laughed loud and pointed at her like a taunting schoolyard bully. We're in a concrete basement, dumbass. Even that fancy phone of yours ain't gonna get no signal down here.
Jennifer sank to her knees and started to sob. Danny continued to point and laugh.
You must think I'm ignorant, that I'd hand you a phone so you could call the police. I wasn't born yesterday.
Danny's amusement abruptly turned more serious.
Now unlock that damn phone, like I said, and hand it right back.
Jennifer didn't respond. She remained on her knees, head bent down and crying.
Girl, stop your bawling. Put your finger on that phone and do whatever you need to do to open it, or I'll cut your finger off and do it myself.
Jennifer stood up and looked at Danny defiantly.
No, I won't. Give me the damn phone.
No, you're not texting anyone, Jennifer growled back. She was determined not to give Danny the phone, but she knew there was only one way to prevent her from taking it. She threw the phone hard against the stone wall, shattering it into a half a dozen pieces.
They'll be looking for me, and sooner or later the police will come kicking your door down.
Damn it! Danny grabbed the fence with both hands and rattled it violently.
I ought to give you the claw into the hammer for that.
Jennifer recoiled to the back wall, fully expecting Danny to follow through on her threat. She looked around for a way to defend herself, but saw nothing in the cage except the cot with a blanket and a pillow. The lid to the toilet tank caught her attention, so she grabbed it and held it with both hands, ready to swing.
You come after me, you better make it count,
Jennifer threatened as she held the heavy porcelain lid up.
I'll bash your brains in if I have to.
Danny paced back and forth, grunting and screeching like a crazed animal. She wanted to kill Jennifer for smashing her head in with the hammer, just like her mother had done to Frank years ago. However, Jennifer had a weapon and was undoubtedly ready to use it. Silently, she cursed herself for being so stupid, not thinking to remove the lid to the toilet tank. After a few moments of pacing and mumbling, she stopped and closed her eyes.
Don't lose your shit, Danny told herself. Just breathe. Get yourself together. Breathe. Breathe. Breathe.
With her eyes still closed, she took several deep breaths and slowly counted to 10, just like they told her to do in the mental hospital. Once she had calmed herself, she turned back to Jennifer.
I'm going upstairs before I do something I'm gonna regret.
Without delay, Danny went up the steps, out the basement, and slammed the door loudly behind her. Momentarily spared from Danny's wrath, Jennifer laid the heavy lid back on the tank, then sank down to rest on the cold stone floor. She sighed in relief. For the moment, she had a small victory. She prevented Danny from texting Rob and distracting him from searching for her, and she avoided any violent repercussions for defying Danny, at least for the time being. There was little doubt in her mind that a reprieve was a temporary one and that Danny would return later with some vile punishment in mind. So when the basement door opened a moment later, it came as no surprise. She looked to see Danny at the top of the stairs and wondered what cruelty she had devised to punish her for her defiance. The light flickered off.
Maybe being in the dark with all them damn spiders will make you a little nicer, Danny said, then shut the door, leaving Jennifer in total darkness.
This time it didn't bother Jennifer to be left alone in the dark basement. She had learned that the monsters weren't hiding in the shadows, but they walked among us in the light of day.